Line, fair ball. The game is tied. Garcia to third. He's being waved home. And the Royals have taken the lead.
And the Royals break their little mini skid as they win last night at the K to even their four-game series of the Blue Jays at one game apiece. They win 3-2, down 2-0. Three runs in the bottom of the fifth. Michael Wacha couldn't get through the fifth, so he didn't get he wasn't eligible for the win. Chris Stratton, 1 2/3 scoreless relief out of the bullpen. John Schreiber, who's been fantastic this year, and James McArthur's became the closer and done a very good job. Got his fifth save as the Royals get it done. Bobby Witt Jr. with that two-run double put the Royals up for good, and they win it 3-2. Matt Crichero on his bullpen.
It was a one-run game, so there was no margin for error. So they put up four and two-thirds scoreless against a really good team. So I can't overstate that enough. I mean, without that, we're either still out there playing or we're behind.
Royals are 14-10. Blue Jays fall to 13-11. Game three of the four-game set is tonight at 6:40. Alec Marsh, the Royals' fifth starter, 3-0 with ERA at 3.22. Much better than Jordan Lyles, who lost his first 15 starts last year for the Royals, and he was their five starter last year. So good decision by Mike Guerrero and Brian Sweeney, the pitching coach, to put Lyles in the bullpen and allow Mr. Alec Marsh to be the fifth starter. It's worked out pretty well for the Royals. Welcome to the Sports Ticket, brought to you by Kiefer Brothers Automotive in Beloit, your home for fast, friendly auto repair. I have to tell this story. So my 10-year-old is just odd. He's weird. He's odd. He's unusual. And we still love him. But I think he just likes to be a contrarian, okay? Most people in my household are more KU fans and K-State fans, but he is no doubt the diehard K-State fan, okay? Although I wouldn't say diehard, but K-State fan, okay? We're all Chiefs fans in my house. In particular, my oldest and me are definitely Chiefs fans. And my youngest somehow is a Seahawk fan, which I tie that to K-State and Tyler Lockett. He met Tyler Lockett about a year and a half ago or whatever, and Tyler was very nice and took pictures. And so perhaps that's part of it. He likes the colors as well. He has a comforter, bed sheets, everything, the set. And it is, I have to admit, I like the Seahawks colors. Pretty cool. Of course, they're way, way away, and he never gets to watch them play in person. And then, of course, when it's on TV, he doesn't get to watch them very often because the Chiefs, the regional team, so forth and so on.
Yeah.
So it has to be different from that standpoint. But where he's really different is baseball, where he is a bandwagon kid. He is a Dodgers fan, but doesn't know much about the Dodgers, so I don't know how you can call him a fan. And, of course, everybody else in my family, Royals fans. So, as I said, he is a contrarian, or a pain in the butt, whatever you want to call him. So last night, he's sitting at the table doing something, and I pull up my phone, I get a notification, the Royals won 3-2. I didn't get to see any of the game last night. Royals won 3-2, and I said, hey, Royals won. All right. And my youngest says, yeah, they still stink. I said, actually, their record's 14-10. He goes, they're not any good. I said, you're a Dodger fan, right? Yes, Dad, you know that. You're such a good Dodgers fan, and you really stay on top of your team. Do you know that the Royals have a better record than the Dodgers? So if the Royals stink, the Dodgers must really suck. He looks it up and he says, the Dodgers are 13-11, the Royals are 13-10. I said, no, they're 14-10. They just won. Well, that's pretty close. I said, yeah, but they still have a better record than the Dodgers. So if you say that the Royals stink, the Dodgers stink worse. And those are the kinds of conversations I have at my house. Yes. So, anywho. All right, local sports, Dusty.
Yes, activities from yesterday in the area. The baseball teams and softball teams at Sylvan Lucas were in action as Ellsworth gets a sweep over Sylvan Lucas Lincoln in baseball, 12-0 and 4 in game 1, 16-4 in game 2. The Sylvan Lucas softball team did get the sweep over Nest City, Hodgman County, 8-4 game 1, and the Lady Mustangs took the second game, 12-10. Abilene was at Concordia in both baseball and softball, or Concordia was at Abilene, excuse me. That was a road game for Concordia. And anyway, Abilene gets a sweep there, 5-4, 13-0 in baseball, and then Abilene softball sweeps as well, 5-1 and 5-0. We just got the Rock Hills Golf Invitational results today as well, as the Lakeside golf team took another championship there in a Sand Greens meet. 304 team score for Lakeside ahead of Rock Hills in second with 335. Chris LaRocque of St. John's took first place with a 69 on the day, and Jace Cunningham of Lakeside was second at 71. Elijah Peel of Pike Valley third, fourth place for Ethan Worth from Rock Hills, and Jackson Hardy of Lakeside finished in fifth place. So that's a look at where everything stands at at that point, as far as the Lakeside or the Rock Hills Invitational, Lakeside again winning that one in Mankato on Tuesday. So that'll catch you up on local sports. We'll have those Rock Hills golf results posted later today. All the other results and schedules at ncksports.com.
Hey, join Dusty today. He'll be over in Beloit at the Beloit Municipal Building playing pickup basketball. No, actually, that's not what will be happening. It's the Sun Valley Community Foundation's newest event, Give to Grow. He'll be there broadcasting live here on Katy Country 94 this afternoon and this morning from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. It's a one-day matching initiative aimed at increasing visibility and long-term endowment growth for area nonprofits. There'll be over 20 area nonprofits on site. In addition to food trucks, hourly giveaways, live music, refreshments, hourly giveaways sponsored by area businesses. Donor gifts received during the event will be matched proportionally up to 100% of Solomon Valley Community Foundation's $25,000 match pool. Attend Give to Grow today from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. at the Municipal Building in Beloit. You can stop by and say hi to Dusty from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. If you never knew what Dusty looks like, he is the most handsome guy in radio, and so you can decide for yourself and see him in person from 11 to 1 today at the Municipal Building in Beloit.
I don't know how many people are going to agree with that, but...
And Dusty will sign autographs for a small, nominal fee. Small fee. That's it.
Yeah. Selfies, just an extra, little extra fee if you want a picture.
If you just give Dusty a Twinkie and a Dr. Pepper or a fiber brownie and a diet drink, or if you just give him anything, an eraser that's been used, a flash drive that doesn't work, he'll sign an autograph for you.
That's, yeah.
He's not, you know, above any of that approach. Beloit's added an assistant coach to their football staff. And there's no doubt he is an absolute traitor. And it really is pretty sad that Beloit has sunk to the new levels of lows by hiring a kid that went to Sacred Heart and graduated Sacred Heart and in certain events beat Beloit head-to-head. I'm joking, of course, but somehow, someway, somebody out there probably will take that as seriousness. But Trace Linners has been added to Brad Gober's football coaching staff at Beloit. I think that's a terrific addition. Trace played high school ball at Sacred Heart. We try not to hold that against him. And although it still probably will. And I think there should be some fun hazing. Now, hazing, I don't mean hazing. I'm talking just fun little ribbing and hazing from the standpoint of make him wear Beloit orange and black for the rest of his life. I mean, when he goes to bed, orange and black pajamas, never ever again gold or any kind of navy blue. He cannot wear that anymore. But anyway, he went on to play football and compete track field at Nebraska Wesleyan University. He will help coach wide receivers and DBs for the Trojans. Those are the positions he played, if I remember correctly, when I covered him back in the day when he played for Sacred Heart against Beloit. So there's a former athlete from the North Central Activity Association doing some good things, now part of the Beloit football coaching staff. Dusty, there's also some really good things happening with a couple other former athletes from our area at the collegiate level.
Yeah, it seems like every week or every other week I have to tell you about Brady Pollen. He's having a lot of success at Wichita State in track and field.
Just an attention monger.
Yeah,
that's what
he is.
Yeah,
so he's not letting anybody else have the attention right now down there at Wichita. But the Beloit native and St. John's graduate, Brady Pollen, in the high jump at Wichita State has already been recognized a lot this spring with some Athlete of the Week honors from the field athlete of the week from the American Athletic Conference, but got probably his biggest honor on Monday night at the collegiate level so far, as the Wheaties Awards were held for Shocker athletes, and for his efforts and success, he was named the Male Athlete of the Year at Wichita State, and this spans across all 15 varsity sports overall, and then six men's varsity sports. Out of all those sports, he was the one that was picked the Male Athlete of the Year at Wichita State, so congratulations to Brady. A lot of success there for the track and field team, and well deserved honor for him. You can read much more about that, about the awards, and you can find much more on the track and field page about how Brady's doing at GoShockers.com, so check that out. Brady Pollen, the Wichita State Male Athlete of the Year.
This is a fact. Brady Pollen has already accomplished more in his life than his dad has his entire life. I'm joking. Although his dad may actually agree with that. I don't know. Athletically,
from this standpoint,
athletically he has. Yeah, there is no question about that.
From this point, I don't think.
And some of the things that his dad has done that he's accomplished may be possibly when he was younger against the law, but we won't get any of that.
No, we probably better not.
Probably not.
I could tell some stories that I know that I don't even haven't even heard from him, probably.
I was going to say, I've heard stories from him and other people around him. And so, you know, if you want to, you know, sit down, have a beer with Wade and Dusty, we'll be happy to, you know, shovel the dirt on top of some people, you know. But no, Brady, Listen, his dad and mom are awesome people. Absolutely awesome, fantastic people. I have no idea where in the hell he got his jumping ability from. I wonder if he was perhaps, you know, this is what people have joked about before. When you can't figure out where the athletic lineage come from, you know what you say? Must be the mailman's son. Something like that, right? The milkman's son back in the day when they delivered milk.
Anywho. Yeah. Now, I don't know where the initial ability came from, but I know he's worked his butt off to get where he's at. That's for sure.
His dad posted a video when he was first high jumping when he was little or younger.
Uh-huh.
It's pretty wild to see it.
I'll bet so.
I mean, you could already see the natural ability then. Yeah. And while he does all these things, Dusty and I are like, I hope I can just jump a couple of inches and not turn my ankle.
Yeah. There's days where it's like I can't even get an inch off the ground.
I hurt when I walk and I don't even jump.
Yeah, I'm not even elevating here.
Yeah, yeah.
Also, Tuesday, Beloit grad and Butler freshman Chloe Odell was named the Jayhawk Conference Pitcher of the Week in softball as she picked up 2 wins and 2 starts this past week, moving her overall record to 13-4 in a freshman season. She's pitched 10 innings for the week last week and had a .70 ERA. She allowed 1 run, struck out 6, the 2 wins, 11-0 over Dodge City, and a 4-1 win at Indian Hills, where she pitched a 1-run complete game. And again, Chloe Odell, the Pitcher of the Week from the Kansas Jayhawk Community College Conference. You can read more about Odell's award at kjccc.org. So, again, Chloe Odell is the Pitcher of the Week there in the Jayhawk Conference. So, I'll catch you up. And if you have any other athletes, by the way, that are doing things and having success at the next level, we can't find all that. Those things get posted on social media usually when we see them. But if you have anything that you'd like us to talk about from any other athletes at the collegiate level from the area, we would love to get those to you. Just if you have our numbers or profiles, social media, let us know and we'll get that out there for you.
Coming up here in a little bit, we'll talk NBA playoffs, NHL playoffs, and K-State in focus. But since we're talking about age, right? I was talking about, man, you know, I'm old enough. I remember, you know, Trace Leonard's covering some of his games when he played for Sacred Heart. And you know, it's to the point where I'm old enough where there are coaches that are coaching for other teams against Beloit when I cover Beloit that I covered when they were in school. And you just feel a little bit older. I came across this on social media, and I thought it was pretty doggone funny. So I'll see if Dusty agrees with this, all right? So, and I tagged Dusty on it, so he's seen it. Dusty's seen it. I shouldn't have tagged you, that would have been more fun. But anyway, so there's a comparison. This is 1978. There's a column, 1978, and there's a column for 2023, okay? Or you can move it ahead to 2024. So that would be 45-year difference, okay? I was born in 76, so I'm 48, full disclosure. How old are you, Dusty?
I'm 40.
That's right. You turned 40. 40.
Yeah.
Oh, I remember the days of 40. Anyway, the 1978 versus 2024 comparison. You ready for this, ladies and gentlemen? Back in 78, it was all about long hair. 2024, you're longing for hair. And if you look at Dusty and me, you know that's a fact.
Yeah.
My 10-year-old is a
pain. Well, I need hair. I'm not longing for hair. I don't, it's not like I miss it, but I never liked taking care of my hair anyway. So yeah. I don't have an issue with losing hair. So, but yeah, understood if you're talking about what your list is there.
Every time we had Rotary Radio Days and Todd Catlin was in here, he always talked about how he saved so much money on hair products.
Absolutely.
Because he didn't have very much. And by the way, my 10-year-old, did I mention this? He's a pain in the ass. He likes to get a rise out of me, and I exaggerate it to make him think that I'm really, really bothered by it. It doesn't really bother me much, but he likes to call me bald. And I'm like, I'm not bald. I have a bald spot in the back of my head that I don't even know I have there until somebody videotapes something, and then I see it, and I'm like, oh, dear God.
Somebody comes from behind you, and you're like, well, that's not it. That's even a little bit more pronounced than I thought it was.
I ain't going to lie to you. The first time that I discovered that I had an open spot on the back of my head, and it hurts me to say this right now, I still don't think of it that way. I like to think that it's a mirage. It's not true. You know, I refuse to acknowledge it to an extent. But one time there was some video, and this was, you know, some years ago, and I already had it. It's got to be worse now. And there was some video taken at a youth sports event or something, and I was helping coach, and so I'm watching. I'm like, oh, who's the guy with the? Oh crap, that's me. That is me. That's what I look from the back of my head. Son of a buck. So my 10-year-old likes to razz me and says, And he likes to change half the things I say. He's like, well, that could be true, Dad, but at least I'm not bald. I'm like, shut up. You be careful. You'll be axed right out of the will. I have told him a few times, sleep with one eye open. Yes, I'm not going to be Father of the Year. I gave up on that a long, long time ago. Okay, so you compare 1978 to 2024. Back in 1978, it was about 8 tracks. For you young people, 8 tracks, oh, the hell with it. You're not going to know what I'm talking about. 8 tracks, which was music you put in a car, blah, blah. In 2024, it's cataracts.
Yeah.
1978, it was kegs, K-E-Gs, right?
Yeah.
2024, E-K-Gs.
I've had them.
19, me too. 19, actually not me, it's my kids have. 1978, streaking. Hey, everybody, let's go streaking. 2024, leaking.
Yeah.
That's gross. 19,
it is.
1978, acid rock. 2024, acid reflux.
Yeah.
1978, seeds and stems. 2024, fiber. Dusty and I both eat fiber brownies.
Yeah. One healthy thing I eat.
1978, Stayin' Alive, the song. 2024, Stayin' Alive, the goal.
out of all of them on there, that's the one I related to the most.
Yeah. This one's pretty funny to me. 1978, you're hoping for a BMW. 2024, you're hoping for a BM. A bowel movement. 1978, going to a new hip joint. 2024, getting a new hip joint. That sounds about right.
Yeah.
1978, the Rolling Stones, man. What a great musical group. 2024, Kidney Stones. 1978, Bell Bottoms. 2024, Big Bottoms.
Yeah. And Bell Bottoms are back, though.
Oh, yeah. 1978, Disco was the rage. 2024, Costco. 1978, whatever. 2024, depends.
Yeah.
1978, rock and roll all night. 2024, sleep through the night. I ran into somebody yesterday I was talking with, and he was out a little bit late, and so he was, I think, dragging a little bit yesterday after hanging out with some friends of his. And he said, yeah, I think I'm just going to go in, chill out, watch TV, and crash. I'm like, wow, out pretty late last night? About 11. Well, you are old if you think 11 is late, but okay. But I hear you. I get it. And finally, 1978 compared to 2024. In 1978, you think you know everything. In 2024, you think you know your name. You think.
Yeah.
I was talking to Don Hyland the other day. You know, our good old buddy, the King of Downs, the King of the Wild Frontier. I mean, honestly, his life is based off of Davy Crockett. Everybody knows that. But he was telling me that he goes, yeah, getting older is not any fun. Doesn't get any better. And the golden years are not exactly golden. I'm like, yep, appreciate that. Something to look forward to. I always love people older than me saying it's only going to get worse. Well, what the hell do I have to live for then? What am I looking forward to here if it's so negative and so bad? But anyway, just usually a figure of speech, but I think it is actually true from what I understand.
You know, I think some of the...
we don't get younger, that's for sure.
No, we don't get younger. And obviously the just general breaking down of the body is obviously going to get worse. But
yes.
I always tell people, like, I've been through some stuff. Like, how much worse can it get?
That's true.
I'm like, I'm hoping it doesn't get too much worse for me.
Yeah, that is a good point. You've been through more than some at your age, no doubt. Yeah, I was talking with somebody the other day, and they said that every part of their body hurts. I'm like,
feel it, man.
And my first thought is, that sucks. My second thought is, way too much information.
Yeah, every part. Yeah.
Every part? Yeah. What? Okay, let's just end it there. Coming up in 30 seconds, K-State in Focus.
I'm Elijah at Kiefer Brothers Automotive in Beloit. Hot weather is here. Is the air conditioning in your vehicle nice and cold? If not, we can help. We have the training and equipment to service vehicle AC systems of all types, including the new refrigerant and late model vehicles. We offer same-day service on air conditioning with no appointment necessary. So don't sweat it out. Give us a shout. Fast, friendly service for your air conditioner can be found at Kiefer Brothers Automotive, just south of the courthouse in Beloit, or on the web at KieferBrothers.com.
It's time for K-State in Focus. Our focus on Kansas State athletics, brought to you by Heineken Electric in Beloit and by Hanson Auction Realty in Beloit. K-State baseball team used a four-run third inning yesterday. Last night at Toyton Family Stadium, beat Omaha 6-4. They're now 25-15 on the season. They're 9-9 in Big 12 play, 16-5 at home. So they're able to beat Omaha, a team that's only 12-24. And so Kansas State, of course, last year just missed out on the NCAA tournament. They took two out of three from number 15 Oklahoma State in Manhattan over the weekend. First time they won a series against Oklahoma State in a long, long time. They host TCU. Check that. They're on the road at TCU coming up this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Then they will be in Lincoln to play the Nebraska Cornhuskers next Wednesday, May the 1st. And after that, they'll host KU for a three-game set May 3rd, 4th, and 5th. K-State in Focus, brought to you as always by Heineken Electric in Beloit and by Hanson Auction Realty in Beloit. Speaking of baseball, we do have a few seats available for our Royals bus trip, which is next Sunday, believe it or not, Cinco de Mayo, May the 5th. If you'd like to go, we can give you all the details. 545-3220 is the number to call. This is a sports ticket brought to you by Kiefer Brothers Automotive in Beloit, your home for fast, friendly auto repair. Appreciate Elijah and the whole staff and the crew and the business for sponsoring the sports ticket. NBA playoffs. Last night, the Mavericks able to even up their series.
Irving hits them both. The lead is 6, 7.2 on the clock. Leonard gets it in. Final seconds, George is going to fire it up and hits at the horn. Dallas gets the equalizer. Big road win for the Mavericks in Los Angeles. And this first round series is tied at 1-1.
Kind of get the feeling that this series is destined to go seven. Mavericks win 96-93 over the Clippers, bounce back from a really bad game one. Luka Doncic with 32 points, 9 assists. Kawhi Leonard didn't play game one. Clippers roll. He played last night, and they lost. So obviously the problem is Kawhi Leonard.
Obviously. He's always the problem.
Always the problem, yeah. I know, he's a great player.
Sorry, I'm still bitter.
I know you are. You're a Spurs fan, full disclosure. He's had inflammation problems in his knee, hadn't played for quite some time, but he played last night, but it didn't matter. And the Mavericks, even that series. Timberwolves took a 2-0 advantage over the Suns in the first round with a 105-93 win. I can't help but go back to Kendrick Perkins and others as soon as the trade was made to get Bradley Beal from the Wizards to go to the Suns. We immediately said on this show that the Suns now have three star players, supposedly, although Beal's been injury prone the last year and a half. Durant's missed quite a bit of time. Booker is actually the stud of the three. I mean, they're all studs, but Booker is the in his prime stud. And we talked about how, what are they going to have around those three guys? And what do they have? What kind of money? What kind of resources? Will they have a bench? So forth and so on. And we talked about how they have to stay healthy, kind of like when you had Irving and Harden and Durant in Brooklyn, and you know how that went. They were always hurt, and then it imploded because of Harden at the end, of course, and then next thing you know, it was completely blown up. And I remember Kendrick Perkins and others saying that they are the biggest challenger to the Nuggets, and that they're the favorites to win the West. I'm like, they hadn't done nothing except add Bradley Beal, and the Nuggets were the defending champs. And we sat here and we talked on this very show about, well, what do they have besides those three guys? And if you look at the box score last night, Eric Gordon's about the only guy they have off the bench that does anything. And the Timberwolves are younger, they're more athletic, they're faster, they're better defensively. And the Timberwolves, with Anthony Edwards, who is a better player maybe than any of those three Suns players I just talked about, Booker, Beal, and Durant. And that's saying something, because they're all very good players, don't get me wrong. But Anthony Edwards is ascending. The others, I think, are descending, except for Booker. He might be right there in the middle of his prime. The Suns are underachieving right now, but at the same time, everybody gets caught up in, ooh, they got the big three. That's great. The big three plus zero. You know what that equals? Three.
Yeah.
Whereas if you have a big two, and sometimes you have more to go around them, you know, like you could argue that the Lakers are better than the Suns. The Lakers were just barely behind the Suns seed-wise, but you could argue the Lakers might be the more complete team than the Suns. And the Lakers have a big two, and that's AD and that's LeBron. And they're just as good as the Suns. And the Suns have supposedly a big three. Although, and once again, is Bradley Beal really a part of a big three now after he's been hurt so much lately? But anyway, the T-Wolves are up 2-0 in that series. And the Suns are in deep trouble. And I think it's kind of funny. And I like the Suns. That's the thing. This is so weird. And I don't know what it is. Maybe it's subliminally me hating on Kevin Durant. Which is weird because I really like Kevin Durant. I like that he's outspoken. I love his game. I know how much work he puts into it and what I've seen behind the scenes, you know, and documentaries, this and that. I think Kevin Durant's a good dude for the most part. You know, I understood when he left Oklahoma City, went to Golden State. I didn't like it. I was a Thunder fan. They're up 3-1 in that series. And then they went back to, you know, me ball, him and Westbrook, after getting a 3-1 lead playing team ball and played hero ball. And they lost three straight. They lost to the Warriors. And then, boom, Durant went to Golden State. Now, he was able to do that. It was his right. And I stood up for him to an extent for that. But at the same time, I hated it because it was basically, I can't beat him, so I'm going to join him. And then you stack the deck against the rest of the NBA. And they won a couple titles. He had to have way more help to win a title. And he was MVP of those championships when he was with Golden State. So he's a terrific player. You know, he went to the Nets, and I felt like he was the one that kind of got the shaft in that whole deal because Irving didn't do his part. Harden was a malcontent, as we already know. But then he went to the Suns, and like I really enjoyed watching the Suns. I was cheering for him against the Bucks. I like Chris Paul, wanted him to get a championship. I like Devin Booker. You know, I liked Mikal Bridges. Well, he got traded to the Nets to get Durant to Phoenix, and I was like, is that really as, I mean, Bridges is younger, got more upside than Durant. Bridges played all the games with the Suns. Good defender, good offensive player. Not as good as Durant offensively. Defensively, maybe, maybe not. Younger, cheaper, and hungrier, perhaps. And plus the Suns gave up more than just Mikal Bridges to get Kevin Durant, who had been injury prone the last few years. And I'm sitting there like, did the Suns really get better? Kind of like the Bucks. You go get Damian Lillard, but you then get rid of Drew Holiday. And I said at the time, I think the Bucks are worse with Damian Lillard than, now if they had Drew Holiday and Damian Lillard, that's different along with Giannis. But they got rid of their best defender, and who was still a guy that averaged 19 a game. Wasn't like he was chopped liver offensively. And now he's with the Celtics, and what do you know? The Celtics are 15 games better than the Bucks this year. And the Bucks now, after losing last night to the Pacers 125-108, no Giannis again. They're tied 1-1 in their best-of-seven series, and they could be in trouble and could be done first round. And then you know what solves things is just go ahead and fire the coach again. Yeah. Although it is Doc Rivers, so they will lose more than likely. But the point I'm trying to make here is that, you know, I know that the superstar teams have won a few championships. The Heat were able to eventually do it. They had their problems early on, obviously, with Wade, Bosch, and LeBron, but they eventually got it figured out, won a few titles. Not 5, 6, 7, or 8, but a couple. You know, the Celtics, I think, was kind of the first one I can think of with the big three when it was labeled that won a title. Maybe there's somebody before that. But You had Pierce, you had Garnett, you had Allen, but they only won one title. They should have won two. They had a big lead in Game 7 against Kobe and the Lakers one year, and they didn't get it done. You know, Lakers was Shaq and Kobe. You know, you had the Bulls, you kind of had Jordan and Pippen, and you had Gasol and Kobe. You know, you didn't have the big three-headed monster. You know, Lakers had Jabbar, Magic Johnson, and they had James Worthy, but they weren't considered like this big three at the time. That wasn't the label, although they were all Hall of Famers. The Celtics had McHale, you had Bird, you know, Parrish was really good, and their guards were underrated. But you really didn't sit here and go, they have three superstars. The Celtics, I thought, at least in the modern era for me, were the first ones really that truly kind of did it. They won a title. The Heat, of course, tried to do it. The Nets tried to do it. It fell apart. The Lakers tried to do it with a Karl Malone, Gary Payton, Kobe Bryant, Shaquille O'Neal, and that fell flat on its face. They got swept by the Pistons in the championship series. Pistons were younger. They were faster. They were more athletic. Ben Wallace was a stud in that series. And then you look, you know, now you look at the Bucks getting a super tandem of Lillard and Giannis. And I'm like, who's going to play defense? And then you got, ooh, the Suns got Durant. Well, they're the biggest contender to the Nuggets. I'm like, did you forget the Thunder are getting better? Did you realize the T-Wolves are getting better? Did you forget the Warriors are still there? You got the Nuggets are the team that just won. The Clippers got Leonard and George when they're healthy. They're a threat. I'm sitting here looking at the Pelicans are really pretty good and up and coming. I'm looking at all of these teams in the West. I'm like, how in the world did Phoenix get just gigantically better by adding Durant late last year and then this year adding Beal to Booker? And who the hell is the point guard? Because there is no Chris Paul anymore, and I know Chris is kind of a declining player, and he went to the Warriors, but he's not needed to be as a featured player as he was with the Suns. And they got rid of DeAndre Ayton as well, who was a pretty big piece of the puzzle, although some people said he was a bit of a problem, and Durant didn't enjoy playing with him, which I don't know. But here we are. The Suns did all this stuff, and they basically sold their soul to the devil, just like the Nets did and some other teams have done. And guess what's happened? It might be blowing up in their faces.
They're not better.
They're not really better. They got more stars. Maybe they can score more, but are they better defensively? No.
No, as a unit and as a team, the record says they're not better,
right? They don't have depth.
Yeah.
Not much. So, just because you put two or three star players together does not automatically mean you're going to be the right guy. And Brad Gober, who is a football coach at Beloit, is a big Suns fan. I just saw his tweet. Frank Vogel was not the right hire for the Suns. Hiring a defensive-minded coach with this current roster makeup was not going to work. That's a very good point. Bradley Beal is not known as a great defensive player. Devin Booker is not known as a great defensive player. Kevin Durant is a pretty good defensive player. Is he now? I don't know, but he was. And he was underrated, I thought, defensively. But, I've said this before, you only have one basketball to go around. And a lot of times when you're in the NBA, you stand around watching, and it might just be pick and roll basketball. Two guys play, three guys stand and watch. Guys go to a corner hoping to get a pass, and there's not a lot of ball movement sometimes in the NBA, so nothing happens. But you know what happens on defense? All five guys can play defense at the same time, whereas all five guys offensively, sometimes you sit there and go, they're not involved.
Yeah.
And the Suns are not a team that plays great defense. The Suns are not, their star players are not defensive stalwarts. You know what? What made Michael Jordan so awesome, what made Kobe Bryant so awesome, and honestly it makes LeBron awesome, is that they are complete players. They are outstanding defensive players. They're outstanding offensive players. And I think Kevin Durant is one of those. Like I said, I think defensively he's underrated. I don't think he's the defensive player he once was because of the injuries, but I think in his prime he was better defensively than people gave him credit for. Booker, I've never been sold on him being a great defender. And Bradley Beal, no way in heck I've thought of him as a great defender. And if those three guys aren't really solid or really good defenders, you got a problem with the rest of the team. And they're down 2-0 to a younger, more athletic, and a better defensive team. And a guy like Jaden McDaniels scores 25, and he's a defensive-minded player.
Yeah. When you're building teams like this and trying to win and have success, the first time that I remember hearing the term the Big Three, it was on the cover of Sports Illustrated. It was the San Antonio Spurs with Tim Duncan, Tony Parker, and Monte Ginobili. Here's the thing. That was built.
That was from the ground up. That was not
acquired.
They
did not chase a Big Three.
Yes.
They had a Big Three eventually, but that was built. Three of those guys were drafted by the Spurs and built. And you kind of look at the Warriors, it's kind of similar with the Warriors, right? It was built. It was Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, and Draymond Green probably, right? Mm-hmm. Would be kind of a comparison of what we're talking about with the Spurs there. Kevin Durant came in after they had already won championship. Mm-hmm. And that was built by the Warriors to be where they're at. And just like everybody, you add a star to the mix there, it's going to make you better. And so, but there it was already built. Now, these other, like you said, the Heat tried to do it, and they had a little success with it, with LeBron, Dwayne Wade, and Chris Bosh, but, they won two championships, and LeBron at his press conference said they were going to win six. And so he didn't stay long enough to even have them win six, but, they had opportunities and got to the finals more than just those two times, but, they didn't have the amount of success they were expecting to have with it. And so it's like you kind of look at all that and understand that the teams that have had success with a quote-unquote Big Three, really, except the Celtics. I think the Celtics are about the only one that did it and actually went out and bought it, right, with Paul Pierce, Kevin Garnett, and Ray Allen. Mm-hmm. They bought it, and they had success, won a championship. They didn't win a lot, but they won one championship with it. And so there's not a lot of teams that you can – really think of off the top of your head that just went and bought it. And so now you're seeing it now too. You're seeing the Thunder. What are they doing? They're building. They've got their own talent. What are the Timberwolves doing? For the most part, they're building.
Rudy
Gobert to add to
your
team.
He's not a gigantic superstar.
But you're not building it, and you're not going out and getting a max level deal contract type of guy.
The Pelicans are young and through the draft.
They're building it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so it, no matter how you want to look at this and think you can just go buy a championship all the time, it doesn't work that way. The Bucks built it when they won the championship, you know, when they had Giannis and Drew Holiday and Chris Middleton and all those guys were good. They built that. That was part of what was built up to be successful and to win a championship eventually.
And they were a one seed last year who got upset by the Heat, and Giannis missed a few games, and they overreacted, and they had to get Dame to get over the hump. They overreacted, and now
they've already been over the hump.
They're worse than they were last year, and they may get bounced the first round again.
Yeah, and so it's just, you know, I don't understand why we got to the point where people think this is the way to win in the NBA.
I think they're chasing names, but I don't see how the studies prove that that's the way to do it.
No.
And I like when the teams build it. That's what I love about the Thunder and what they're doing. And I think the Spurs are building it the right way. You know, you got some really good draft picks, obviously Wembanyama. Next thing you know, you build around the foundation. That's the core. That guy he's the key piece, right, of the puzzle.
Tim Duncan was the key piece, you know, and
right.
David Robinson before that. But by the time that was all out, you know, it was Tim.
You know, the Suns were building something special when they made it to the NBA Finals. They were building around Devin Booker. They had young players. They had Ayton, who's still young. They had Mikal Bridges. They had a few other players. And then Chris Paul was the, you know, aging point guard, but he is a veteran. In presence, they had something going in the right direction, and then you blow it up and go get Durant, and you trade away some assets and whatever else, and then you bring him on, and then you're capped financially with the cap and his contract, and then you don't have as many resources to go get guys that help you, and then you go trade for a Bradley Beal, you give up stuff for that. Last night, Kevin Durant was 6 of 15, Bradley Beal was 6 of 17, Devin Booker was 6 of 13. But here's the real key number, plus minus on the floor, the old plus minus stat, which, you know, sometimes can be misleading a little bit, but I think it's a pretty good stat to go by. While Booker was on the floor, the Suns were minus 24. They lost by 12. When Durant was on the floor, they were minus 24. They lost by 12. Bradley Beal on the floor, minus 11. So of the three, Beal was better than all of them. They all played 41 minutes. But if you're pretty good defensively, and of course none of them had really good offensive nights. But if you're really good defensively, you can compensate for an off night offensively. And by the way, you're probably sitting there going, well, that means Anthony Edwards went nuts last night, right? No, Anthony Edwards was 3 of 12 and had 15 points. The Suns lost by 12 when Anthony Edwards, one of the best players in the NBA, made 3 shots. How did the T-Wolves did it? They held the Suns to 93 points because a guy named Jaden McDaniels, who is a defensive-type player, ended up scoring 25 last night. He was plus 24 on the floor. The best player on the floor last night between the Suns with their superstars, Durant, Beal, and Booker, and even the T-Wolves with Karl-Anthony Towns, Rudy Gobert, and Anthony Edwards. You know who had the best plus minus, and it's not even close? A guy that many people probably never have heard of who played 41 minutes last night, Jaden McDaniels, was plus 24.
I don't know.
You can get all your star players all you want, but that doesn't mean you're going to win, and that just proves it.
Yeah, it is, and yeah, I've seen it. You see it too much in, like, basically all professional sports. Like,
the Yankees have done it, and it worked there for a while for the Yankees.
Yeah, but, I mean, typically, no matter what the sport is, you got to build it from the bottom and get the guys in and build a program and a system, and then you'll have success.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, that's what the Royals did when they won the championship. And
you add a few pieces.
And sometimes
you
have to change the formula.
Sure.
But you build what you've got, and like you said, add a few pieces that are going to help you get over the hump. And obviously, that's what the Royals did in 2015. They added a pretty good pitcher that they felt was worth what they had to give up, and they added another utility player that ended up being a second baseman that they thought was going to help them get over the hump.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody does that, but you don't just go seeking before the season starts.
Yeah.
Hey, let's go get Kevin Durant and Bradley Beal to be on the same team.
And the Royals changed the formula because when they made the trade for James Shields and Wade Davis, that's when they really were like, we got to speed this process up.
We
got to
get pitchers in here because we don't have them.
And it worked out.
Yeah.
It worked out for the Royals and Dayton Moore, no doubt. Tonight in the NBA playoffs, there are just 2 game 2s on the schedule. The Heat will try even their series without Jimmy Butler. They're in Boston. Celtics up 1-0 at 6 o'clock tonight. In the West, the Thunder up 1-0 after winning by 2 over Pelicans in Game 1. Game 2 at 8:30 in OKC tonight. There's also the NHL playoffs. They're going on as well without Mike Kraken.
Tkachuk is after it. Tkachuk spins. Lundell with a slot in front.
Let's go home, baby. I like that call. With that goal, the Panthers won 3-2 over the Lightning. They're up 2-0 in the East first round series. Also Tuesday in NHL playoffs. If you don't know what the NHL is, it's hockey. The Rangers won 4-3 over the Capitals to go up 2-0 in their series. In the West, the Avalanche even their series with a 5-2 win in game two over the Winnipeg. The Predators beat the Canucks 4-1, tie that series at 1-1. There are three games on the schedule on the ice tonight. In the East, the Bruins and Maple Leafs tied at 2 with game three actually be tied at 1 with game three at 6 o'clock in Toronto. In the West, the Las Vegas Golden Knights have a 1-0 lead over the Stars. Game two at 8:30 tonight in Dallas, and the Edmonton Oilers are up 1-0 on the LA Kings. Game two of that one late tonight at 9 o'clock in Edmonton. So that's an update on the NBA and NHL playoffs. Give you a little stat from last night from Dr. Randy Jazirli, who he has some interesting information, and he definitely talks about the Royals a lot. Last night, the Royals quietly accomplished something almost literally unprecedented. Their starting pitcher didn't go five innings, wasn't eligible for the win. Their starting pitcher allowed 12 base runners and 4 1/3. The Royals only scored 3 runs, and they won 3-2. The only team in Major League Baseball history to do all of those negative things and still win a game, the St. Louis Cardinals, May 22nd, 1949.
Figured it probably would have been a while.
Yeah, the numbers aren't in your favor, and your starting pitcher doesn't go five. He gives up 12 base runners in less than five innings. You only score 3, and you still win. That is pretty impressive. And the Royals snap a 3-game losing streak with that win. They're back at the K tonight at 6:40 with Alec Marsh on the bump. Anything else to add, Mr. Dynas?
I think we covered what we needed to.
Did we? I hope so. I'm sure there's some breaking news is going to pop up as soon as I get off the air here. Let me see if there's anything else to add. Nope, don't see anything. So that ends that. Super awesome close of this show, going out with a bang.
State, regional, and national sports talk on your schedule. The Sports Ticket Podcast. Subscribe via Apple, Google, and TuneIn Podcasts or SunflowerStateRadio.com.